KJR News Director Joshua Dixon. When Dan Cates wanted to create a peaceful protest against the recent incidents of police brutality in the Twin Cities, one of the first people he contacted was Redwood Falls Police Chief Jason Kottner. Perhaps to the surprise of some, the Redwood Falls Police Department was not only fine with letting the march go on, but some police officers and other law enforcement officials actually participated, walking alongside an adverse crowd of area residents outraged by the murder of George Floyd. KLGR spoke with Chief Kottner earlier this week about his department's cooperation with the march and about the issues that the march raised. So your background, I know you spent time in California before here, and so you came to the Redwood area from more of an urban setting, correct?
Yes.
Just what are some of your perceptions about differences between just the way people interact between a big city and a smaller rural community like the Redwood area?
We're nicer to each other. And it's, if you take a step back and think about it, it makes sense, because if you're in a big urban area, I may see you once in my entire life. We're in a town of 5,200 people. We're going to bump into each other. I'm going to see you at Walmart. I'm going to see you at Terstig's. I'm going to bump into you at the gas station. So if we have a negative interaction in a major metropolitan area, we'll probably never see each other again. And I think from my perspective, what I've seen is it kind of creates a – you kind of live in your own bubble because you don't think about the other person as much. When you're in rural Minnesota, you're out in these rural areas, you have more of a connection with the people you live with in the community.
One thing that I was thinking of in terms of our shared public spaces, like, say, the schools, is everybody goes to the same schools, basically.
Sure.
Two or three schools. A couple of years ago, my daughter was in the high school production of Alice in Wonderland, and Alice was Asian, and the unicorn was from the Lower Sioux community, and one of the Humpty Dumpty was played by an autistic boy whose aide was standing just off stage.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
because we don't have as many people to choose from, in a sense, like in the Twin Cities where they have classes of 2,000 people,
right,
we have to interact with each other more. And I think that's totally a healthy thing.
I agree. I'll go back to the march we had last week, which came about because of these incidents, specifically from Minneapolis. But we, as a community, there's a lot of people that came in and they marched down the street to make their point. But what did we see? Not one problem. We had no arrests. We had no incidents. We saw that throughout rural Minnesota. Marches happen, protests happen, but there was a level of respect and there was a level of courtesy given to people who maybe they're just watching, maybe they disagreed, but there was no violence. There was none of that, nothing what we're seeing in the urban areas. I think it's just because it's very difficult to have that, it's very difficult to have a negative confrontation with somebody that when you know, well, I'm going to see you next week, it's going to happen.
Here in the small towns, there's the 6 degrees of separation. Is when you see a new person, your mind says, okay, who do you know that I know?
Sure.
And who are you related to that I might be related to? And again, it's all a perception thing. I think that's a good thing, but I think some people in the Twin Cities would think that's kind of creepy that people are keeping an eye on me.
Well, it's foreign to them. You know, having lived in small towns and lived in bigger areas, it's... In a way, your world is smaller. You know, here I have contact with a lot of people, and the people I've, like you're talking about, 6 degrees of separation. If there's somebody in this town I don't know, I guarantee you I know somebody who knows that person. In these bigger areas, the chance of that, you know, increasingly decrease,
mm-hmm,
because there's just too many people to know. So again, I kind of go back to that. You kind of live in your own little bubble in these bigger areas just because it's impossible to know everybody in the community.
Going back to that March for Justice that was here a week or so ago, how did the Redwood Falls Police Department get involved in that? Yeah, you were approached by Dan Cates, is that it?
We were approached by the organizers, and they essentially were putting us on notice that they wanted to do this, but they wanted us to, at a minimum, be aware that it was happening and assist them if we could. And so we were more than happy to facilitate that in the interest of public safety. And I say we, I'm saying the city of Redwood Falls, so the police department, the street department, the parks department, everybody did their part to make this a successful event. And it worked out really well. I think everybody involved, I've yet to hear a negative comment of how it went.
I noticed when I was there at the event that when Dan Cates went up to give his talk, beginning it, and then you got up and you were giving your take on the speech, welcoming everybody there. There did seem to be a slight tension. You know, what is a cop going to say here at this thing? And at the end, you got as much applause as... I think everybody was relieved. Okay, we're trying to tamp down the tensions here.
Yeah. No, there was as much tension on my side as probably on theirs, because we had been monitoring the events in New Ulm, the marches and protests in Marshall. And so I had no clue how the crowd would accept me or perceive me. But I think we go back to exactly what I said that day is when Dan and his mom, Gail, approached us and we sat down and I understood what his purpose and what the meaning of the march was. It was very clear and it was very easy for me to say, this is something that I can support. Not only support just as the chief of police to make this a public safety event, but I got what he was trying to accomplish and I could get behind it. We did find a lot of common ground between the two of us, and so it was great. I had no problem participating in the march. And after he invited me, I had no problem participating in it because I understood what it was about.
In terms of cultural training, just for law enforcement in general, and then for this area in particular, what sort of cultural training do law enforcement officers get in terms of how to deal with people from different backgrounds?
I don't know the exact timeline. Within the last 3 years, I'll say, the Minnesota Peace Officer Standard and Training Board, which oversees licensing for peace officers, they mandated a change or an addition to the normal amount of training that we usually do. I invite you to just take a step back. Some of the normal training is like use of force training, firearms qualifications, defensive tactics, things you would expect. Well, a few years ago, they added to that several things, de-escalation training, implicit bias training, mental health training, and this is now part of the standard curriculum. Every peace officer has to take these classes. It's more training, it's more time spent in training, but I've seen the benefit of it. I've seen it. I've watched the officers use the techniques that were taught because I'm taking the same classes, and they've been very effective for us.
Possibly awkward question. Say you're doing a traffic stop, and do you notice a difference in terms of people's attitudes towards you, depending on, say, what their skin color is? On the whole, I mean, this is a huge generalization.
It is, and I always go back to the person.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't answer the question without... you need to give me the person.
Okay.
I'll say it this way. I was never accused of being a racist until I became an officer. Does that mean everybody thinks I'm a racist? No. Do the people that know me think I'm a racist? No. But you hear it. As a cop, you're going to hear it. You're going to hear it a lot. But to say that that's more, it's happening more, it's happening less, I couldn't answer that. I don't know.
Okay.
It depends on the person.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering if some people see the uniform and automatically make assumptions. It depends on the person.
Depends on the person.
What are some ways that you would like to see things go forward in the future in terms of people getting past their suspicions or misunderstandings?
Well, and again, if I had the answers, we'd be having this conversation in my beach house.
Right.
I don't have the answers. Mm-hmm. Here's what I can tell you what works. What works for the Redwood Falls Police Department is that we actively try to engage people in a respectful manner. We're not here as an occupying force. We're here to help with public safety, whether that's the investigation of a crime, whether that's the arrest of a criminal, whether that's doing traffic control at a crash.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. these bigger urban areas have much bigger problems, much more complex problems. I don't know how to translate our environment to that environment. I just can't. When I was doing law enforcement in an urban area, it was in a completely different capacity than a patrol officer. So I don't have the answers. What I can tell you is what works here. And I think, in my mind, I think the police department has a good relationship with the community, and I encourage that as much as I can.
You mentioned about how here in the smaller towns, maybe especially, you don't see law enforcement as being an occupying force or wanting to be perceived as being an occupying force. And that reminded me, years ago I interviewed a retiring Redwood Falls police officer, and I asked him, is there something about your career, your 25, 30 years you've spent here that you're proudest of? And he said, yes, in the entire time I've been here, I've never had to make use of my gun. And to me, that says a lot about his attitude about law enforcement, is he's there to help people, not to threaten.
Well, and statistically, the chances of an officer having to use their weapon in a deadly force encounter is pretty small. And don't ask me the statistics. I don't have it.
Sure.
But as a rule, the far vast majority of officers will never be in a shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hairy situations, absolutely. I don't think you'll ever find an officer anymore that will... Back when I was going through training, back in the early 90s, you'd hear stories of officers that I never had to draw my gun in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you that those days are gone, because it does happen. You get into situations, and the training tells you you have to be prepared. But I've never had to fire my weapon, thank God. I hope I never do.
Mm-hmm.
I hope none of my officers ever have to. But as we've seen... 20 years ago, we did have an officer get shot here in town.
So
it can happen, and it can happen in small towns.
Okay, let's go back to the march that happened. And one of the things that I know people in town were worried about is they said, you know, what's going to happen? Are we going to be having people from out of town coming in and trying to cause problems?
Yeah.
And so is that something that the Redwood Falls Police Department, the Redwood County Sheriff's Department, have plans for? I'm not asking you to tell us specifically,
yeah.
But
we were monitoring outside groups that had declared their intentions of coming to outstate Minnesota for protests and for marches. We were monitoring their social media. We were preparing for the worst. We had to prepare for a really bad situation. We also had to prepare for what we had, which was a great situation. Dan and Gail and I and the other people involved with the planning of this, we had those discussions. Well, what if this happens? What's that going to look like? We had those tough conversations. And they understood completely that because this was organized over social media, they really couldn't control who came or didn't come to this event. But they were concerned, too, that the wrong people would come for the wrong reasons. And because they exactly like I told you, we understood what they wanted, and that's exactly what they gave to the community, a unity march.
So what am I forgetting to ask? What would you like people to know about this whole issue about law enforcement and relating with different communities in the area, something I'm not asking about?
Here's what I want. If there's a person out there in this community, because that's all I can speak to, if there's a person out in this community who feels that there is a disconnect between the department and the community or the department and a particular group, I'd like to have the conversation. I'd like them to come and talk to me about it. Because at the end of the day, my experience is that we don't have – the training tells us that implicit bias affects everybody on some level. But we don't act as a department. We don't enforce the law based on – race, gender, sexual orientation, any of these categories. We base it on the facts and what people did or didn't do. So if there's somebody that feels that we are, I want to know why they feel that way. I want to have that discussion and see if we can't come to some sort of conclusion of why that's happening, why they had that perception exists.
Suppose the department does get an accusation. What would be the process for dealing with that accusation?
There's a process set in our policy. It's very specific. If a person feels that an officer, and I'll just make a generic situation. Let's say an officer made an unlawful arrest. They fill out the complaint form. I review it. If I just based on my review of what the circumstances are, what the accusation is, if I feel that there's a merit to it, at least to look into it, it'll then be investigated. Depending on the details, it may be investigated in-house, or I can send it to be investigated by an outside agency. And then that investigation will move forward, the findings will be presented, and at that point, based on our policy, it's either found to be, you know, founded, unfounded. But there's very specific categories of how that complaint gets listed for a disposition, and then whether or not any disciplinary action were to be taken, up to and including a criminal review. So it's laid out in policy.
Okay, what outside agency would you send it to be looked at?
There, and there again, it depends on the details and circumstances.
Okay.
It could be the sheriff's office. It could be perhaps an outside sheriff's office, say like Renville County or Brown County. If it's extremely serious, we might even go to the BCA to have somebody at an even higher level review it.
Bureau of Criminal Apprehension?
Yes.
Okay.
So it depends on the circumstances.
That was Redwood Falls Police Chief Jason Kottner. We'll be back in a moment.